Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
While we respect the judicial process and appreciate the work of everyone involved in this very difficult case, I share the feelings of our members. We were hoping for a different outcome.
Let me be crystal clear. I support and accept the verdict of the jury.
Toronto Chief of Police Demke, following the not guilty first-degree murder verdict by the jury last weekend for Umar Zamir, first-degree murder charge in the death of Toronto Police Detective Constable Jeffrey Northrup. And there's been a great deal of response and reaction to that particular statement by the chief. The Canadian Civil Liberties Association now wants to know what steps the Toronto Police Services Board will take to ensure the chief and other police members will not, quote, publicly malign bail decisions or criminal verdicts in the future, end of quote. The Toronto Police Service responded by saying the chief has, quote, stated numerous times that he supports the justice system and accepts the decision by the jury, end quote. Comments made by Ontario Premier Doug Ford, who described the bail issue for Mr. Zamir as, quote, completely unacceptable at the time bail was issued, has also come under review. Mr. Ford has since said his statements were based on limited information on the case. Let's talk to John Reed, the president of the Toronto Police Association. John, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm good, Roy. Thank you very much for having me today.
Good talking to you, and my sincere condolences, and I'm sure all of our listeners' condolences, on the loss of Detective Constable Jeffrey Northrup.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate your sentiments.
The Toronto Police Association, you had a I checked a tweet that you put out on X, or you know, I always get confused with tweet and X, but a statement that you put out on X about the death of Detective Constable Northrup. Can you just share with us what the Police Association's position is and what your thoughts are?
So, you know, as far as the decision of the jury, you know, police officers, we understand that the decision of the jury is the decision of the jury. You know, I think anybody with any particular case, depending on where somebody stands on one side or the other, they may not be happy about the outcome. But you have to respect the outcome. And that's a very, very important piece. You know, we do operate in the rule of law. And that's why we have the judicial system we have. You know, I think it's important to understand that even the case which was brought before the jury, you know, that case had gone through a Crown review. And they have the discretion and their job is to assess to see how their matter is going to proceed. You know, that's one of the key pieces for those individuals.
Yeah, I don't want to spend the whole time that we're talking about the case. I mean, it has the whole country, had the whole country talking, and some of us still have questions, and I'm sure you're among them. But there are other issues I would like to talk to you about, and that is just what it takes to be a police officer, what it is police officers are encountering, and particularly in Canada's largest city, where a number of Toronto police officers has lost their lives in the line of duty, and quite recently. Does this lead to officers questioning how they're deployed, whether they have the necessary resources to take on the job? What's the longer term, I don't want to use the word fallout, but what's the longer term response to the losses of the lives of police officers, John?
So I think when you start looking at what's happened over the last probably two and a half years, you know, we've seen 10 officers killed across Canada. We've lost two police officers here in Toronto, one that was actually murdered, and obviously Jeff Northrup recently, where we had that decision. And I think the general sense amongst the membership is policing is getting more dangerous, particularly here in Canada. We haven't seen that many officers killed in the short period of time, and as long as I've been a police officer, which is over 36 years. And to me, it's very concerning. I'm seeing a rise in assaults. We had one assault on a police officer, on a uniformed police officer, on the street when an individual came up and punched the police officer for no reason at all. And then we had another police officer involved in an arrest with a broken leg. And then we had the other officer recently that was stabbed during an arrest. And once again, you know, it's incredibly frustrating for me when I see this happening, because I've seen the decline in kind of the respect on the street for police officers. And I think it really does strike a note with me and our members. But it should also strike a point with the general public as a whole. Because when you start seeing a uniformed police officer and people aren't afraid, you know, to attack a police officer, what does that say about our average citizen? And this is where I really believe we need strong, strong support from our community leaders, municipal. Here in Ontario, we're very fortunate to have a very, very supportive provincial government. But we need to see it at the federal level as well.
So my question was going to be, the next one actually, was, are your members confident when they go out on the streets that they will be supported by senior officers and politicians while those officers are on patrol? What confidence level does the officer on patrol have now, John?
So I think that will vary, quite honestly, as to which particular level of government you're speaking about. I know our city council here is not being very supportive. I've been advocating over and over and over to try and get councillors to come out and support the job our police officers have been doing, particularly during the protests that we had recently here in Toronto, ever since October 7th. But it is a larger issue, and I think it's very important to try and get the public's voice, that silent majority, which truly is out there and does support police and does support law and order, to get those people out and get their voices heard as well. You know, membership-wise, I think internally with the service, you know, the service is there to support our members. You know, I think when something does go sideways, I do worry that the service is a little too quick to make a decision. But ultimately, you know, these investigations have to run their course. And a lot of the times, they end up working out okay.
How often do your officers come back and talk to you about, hey, somebody just stopped me today to say thanks for what you do? Does that happen?
I do, actually. I get the odd call now and then. And to be honest with you, it goes so far with our members. Because, you know, as we all see with the media, we end up with such negativity all the time. And, you know, we try and put out all the good news stories. But unfortunately, the media seems to hone in on all the negative stories. And those are the ones that can kind of get rebroadcast over and over. And it creates that narrative that there's nothing good coming out of policing, which is exactly the opposite. There is so much good, amazing work done by our members, which is done both on the job during the course of their duties, but also off the job. You know, and I'll just bring you back to Jeff Northrup again. You know, Jeff worked in Brampton, volunteering his time and energy, working with the Northrup family for Special Olympics. And that was very, very important to him. That's just one example of the work that goes on here in Toronto all the time.
Yeah. Let me just bring up a point that nobody in this country is unaware of. And that's what's been going on in the streets of the city of Toronto and in cities across the country. And it's the pro-Palestinian and pro-Hamas demonstrations. And people should remember that Hamas is a defined terrorist organization by the federal government of Canada. Having that said that, do you as a police association feel like your hands are tied? Here, let me bring the federal government into this. That your hands are tied, at least somewhat, in how you may respond to provocation. And you and I have talked about this on this program before. We see American police engage protests, these protests in numbers, and make arrests, not so much in this country. How much of it might have to do with Ottawa not standing behind police officers in Canada?
So I don't think it's so much that Ottawa's not standing behind the police officers. You have to look at the protests that we have here in Canada, in Toronto. And I can tell you the protests have actually changed. The dynamics have changed within those protests recently. And that's why we've seen more arrests. And I think, quite honestly, you know, everyone has to understand it. Everyone has a constitutional right to be able to protest, but that protest lawfully and peacefully. And those are the two important points here. And once these protests cross the line into criminality, at that point, police officers have the ability to take action, whether that be an arrest, a caution. But I can tell you here in Toronto, our members have been extremely patient with people through these entire protests. They understand that they are emotionally charged, but that does not mean you're allowed to breach the law. You know, as I think everyone's aware as well, a few weeks back, we had individuals throwing horse feces at our officers, individuals trying to spear an officer, another one trying to spear a horse. And the individual that did that to the horse was recently arrested, I think, just last week. So these arrests may come at the time, they may come down the road, but they will be affected.
Okay, final question for you. Are you losing officers to retirement long before they might be expected to take that step because of what officers have been experiencing, particularly over the last few years?
My quick answer to that would be yes. I can tell you, when I first started this policing, you know, 35 years was kind of the mark that everyone would try and get to. I'm seeing more and more now officers going at 28, 27, you know, 30 years. And I think, you know, the reality is policing has lost a lot of its luster over the last four and a half, 5 years. But that shouldn't be the case. It is a noble job. It's a fantastic career. And I would encourage anybody that's interested in policing to have a serious look at it.
Yeah, as we've often said, when the rest of the population runs out because of something that's going on, it's the police officer who runs in to take care of the situation. John, good talking to you. Thank you so much for the time today. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.